Earlier this morning, we looked at the big picture of the Haggadah, the relation between Sipritiyas Mitzrayim and Matzah, the distinction Reb Chaim draws between Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim every day and every night versus Sipritiyas Mitzrayim, Leil HaSeder, a lot of specific differences, six or seven or eight differences in terms of how you do them, and all feeding into this one larger picture. Leil HaSeder is meant to be a night of storytelling, of Sipur, not just of mentioning, not just of Zechira. And a Sipur that's a retelling that should lead to a reliving of the experience and a relaying of the Ikari Amuna. Mentioned earlier that early in the Maggid, there's a built-in chunk of instructions. Question of how much, who has to participate in the Sipritiyas Mitzrayim, and how you participate, Kol Marbei Zeh Meshubach, and including all sorts of people and tailoring the presentation to whoever's there. And the question of when, which also relates to the how, Shoshes Matzor Mar Menachah Fanecha, you relate the story to the Cheftze Mitzvah on the table. And in the midst of that, you have the Maisei B'Chamisha Zekeinim. Reb Lezer, Reb Yeshua, Reb Lezer, Reb Azaria, Reb Akiva, Reb Tarfon, all together. Telling the story all night long. Talmidim come and say, Rabbi Sein, give us my kriyash mashal shachars. The night is done. You are marbe as much as possible. You maxed out on be marbe v'siyas Yisrael. And now it's no longer Leil HaSeder. Now it's time to move on to the next mitzvah, the daytime mitzvah of kriyash mashal. So I'll be pastures, as we mentioned earlier, the function of mentioning that story is Maisa Rav, is to show that Talmidei Chacham and Gedolei Yisrael actually fulfilled the dinim that we just said. Number one, Afilu Kol Chacham Kolon Avonim, great Talmidei Chacham also are Mekuyim and Sipritiyas Mitzrayim. You can't say I know it already. I know all these dinim. I know all these facts. I know the story. No, you have to live it. You have to live it every little Seder and Kol Ma'abrez and Meshubach. There is Akasha, I believe was originally raised by the Aruch HaShulchan, I'm not sure. It relates very beautifully to an insight that the Rav shared in the Drasha, which is to notice the location. A lot of times we sort of don't pay, Shiva Bacham don't pay attention to dates and places. Where are they gathered? These five great Gedol Yisrael. Number one, only somewhat tongue-in-cheek, since when does a rabbi get to go away for Pesach? It's quite a Pesach program. Or all the Gedolei Yisrael were away from their communities. That's Halo Davaru. The Rav went away for Pesach. And which of these Rabbanim was local? Who? The Bekiva. Right? This is a Bnei, it happened in Bnei Brak. So Bnei Brak is not only a modern city, it was restarted in modern times. But the Gemara says, I believe in Sanhedrin, has a brisa where it tells you where various Tanoim lived, where they served as Rabbanim. And I think Rishua was in Pekin, this one was here, this one was there, and Rabbi Kiva was in Bnei Brak. So it means they all gathered Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva was home for the Seder, and four other Gedolei Yisrael gathered in his home. Now the problem is, those names are familiar to us. That the Gemara we learned earlier in Brachas, the impeachment of Rav Gamliel, a lot of those names are around the same time. A number of those names are part of that story. Rav Gamliel is not there. Rav Yeshua is there. Rav Akiva is there. Blazim Nazaria is there. Rav Eliezer appears also. The problem is that Rav Akiva, we know from other sources in Chazal, Akiva is roughly a contemporary Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua, but he was also their Talmud, because he came to Limudat Torah late in life. Rabbi Akiva was one of the most famous Balei Tshuva of all time, ranking up there with another Jew who rejoined Klal Yisrael, certainly, later in life, and started a career later in life as a Manig Yisrael, that's Moshe Rabbeinu himself. So Rabbi Akiva is a Talmud of Rabbi Elazar Yehoshua. So it's strange that the Talmud, the Rebbeim came to the Talmud. You would have expected to be able to, like the Gemara says, we saw the Gemara Psachim Kufres. Abaye is talking about when he had Seder by one of his Rebbeim, by Rabbo, and he had Starim, and a different Rebbe of his, Rav Yosef. But here it seems backwards, that the Rebbeim came to the Talmud. Why are they all coming to Rabbi Akiva? So Rav Rimon, in one of his Akkadas, he suggests one possibility is, it could be that they were all escaping Roman persecution. That if you trace who was where when, so it could be that Pekin or Yeshua's town was under a more watchful Roman eye. And the other towns also. And you have to figure out when there's some discussion about when this story happens. Is it soon after the Churban by Sheni, or is it later? When religious persecution was intensifying. So there's another approach that I believe is attributed originally to Aruch HaShulchan. And it goes as follows. They were Rabbeim of Rabbi Akiva, but they were also Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Because there are many, many, many different stories and episodes of Rabbi Akiva. Could we even touch this a little bit at the Shabbaton? Feels like forever ago. There's a recurring theme in a lot of the stories of Rabbi Akiva and a lot of the statements of Rabbi Akiva. You know, one of the most famous stories of Rabbi Akiva is, I would say, only somewhat tongue-in-cheek, that's Minig Yisrael has developed recently to chazar the end of Makkos on Erev Pesach morning. Because The Tainus Bechorim has evolved into making a siyum, a minute to make a siyum on Erev Pesach morning. One of the most popular siyumim is on Maseches Makkos for a variety of reasons. But perhaps, deep down, part of the premise of that is that so much of Kol Yisrael Chazer is the last Gemara in Makkos. Erev Pesach morning. What's the last Gemara in Makkos? Right? Rabbi Akiva and his Chaverim. Oh, thank you. Rabbi Akiva and his Chaverim are passing by the Makam Mikdash, and it's Charev, and it's terrible. And then they see the height of it. Not only is the Makam Mikdash Charev, thank you so much, not only is the Makam Mikdash Charev, but Mamashul and Hilchubo. They see animals walking around. We think of the Makam Mikdash as a place that's covered by a temple to a different religion, which is painful in one sense, very, very painful in one sense. And what the Tanoim saw was an empty space, and there were animals running around there, which was incredibly painful in a somewhat different sense. And they tear Kriya, and they're crying, and Rabbi Akiva is smiling, and the Kerem said, well, you lost your mind? Why are you smiling? He says, no, why are you crying? Why are you crying? Namish. The desolation of Makkah Mikdash. He says, that's why, exactly why I'm smiling, because, he says, this is one of the terrible nevuos of Churban, Shuel and Hilchubo. And now that I see, Mamish, I could see vividly B'moei Naim, the way the terrible nevuos of Churban are literally coming true, it's easier for me now to conjure up in my mind's eye the happy nevuos of rebuilding literally coming true. So that seeing the desolate, seeing the kiyum of the nevuos of Churban was mechazik his emuna in nevuos of Geula, so that gave him a boost. Agav, the nevuah of Geula that he mentions there, I don't remember which one it was. Od Yeshu is the king of the kings, B'chav Yerushalayim. If you know where to go in the old city, off the beaten track where the tourists walk, there are many tens of thousands of Jews who live in the old city. They don't all live on that one strip with all the stores. They don't eat burgers bar all the time, obviously, or pizza or ice cream. It's just like, if you turn to the right or the left, there's a big, beautiful neighborhood. You have to know where to go. And there are homes, there are playgrounds, there are yeshivas, you know, all, everything you need. There are ping pong tables if you know where to go. And there's one, if you know where to make a right turn, there's a large area, big square where kids play. Near Batei Varsha, I think it is. Batei Machsa, maybe. And there are benches on the side.
and inscribed into the benches, it can make you cry. Inscribed in the benches is that Nevo Odesh was game of the Canaan. So you can go there, you can see. You're in Yerushalayim, also Yerushalayim, and you're seeing older people sitting on those benches, and seeing little kids playing. Mamash, like, imagine how Rabbi Kiva would have jumped for joy. He was jumping for joy just imagining that Nevuah come true. How lucky are we get to see some of the Nevuahs of Gula already coming true. The extraordinary optimism of Rabbi Kiva that you see in that story recurs again and again. We spoke, I think we spoke at Shabbaton about the comment of Rabbi Kiva, the very end of Maseches Yuma. Ashreichem Yisrael lefnei mi atem etar mi etar eschem. Klal Yisrael lost Beis HaMikdash, and we felt like we lost Yom Kippur, Hola Vos Yom Kippurim, the opportunity for Kapara, now it's all gone, and now our Aver is just going to build up and build up and build up, and we're just going to drown in Aver. He says, no, Adrava. The Tahara comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it used to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted us Tahara through the avenue of Vos Yom Kippurim, and now it's going to be without Vos Yom Kippurim. Mikvi Yisrael Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which literally means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the hope of Israel. But also, mikveh yisrael tikva. But also, he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was metaris like a mikveh. And there are so many episodes, the famous Gemara in Yevamos. We think about Lag Bomer time. That Rabbi Kiva had staggering to think of. Rabbi Kiva had 24,000 Talmidim. 24,000 Talmidim. That is larger than any yeshiva now or in. Certainly, the last many centuries, 24,000 Talmidim, and Kula Mesu Perakachin, all gone. Gemara says it was Askara. There was some sort of illness, which either means literally they all died of some sort of illness, or some said that Henkin suggested they may have been a polite way of saying, so as not to ruffle the feathers of any censors, it's a polite way of saying that they all died. During the Bar Kokhba uprising, because Rabbi Kiva held that Bar Kokhba was Mashiach. He understood that 7 years, I think it's Yerushalmi. I don't know if the Bavli has it, but I think Yerushalmi has it. Maybe the Bavli has it in Chelik also, I don't remember for sure. The Yerushalmi certainly has it. That Rabbi Kiva held that the Od Shiv Mishana Efko, the Yirmiyahu's Nevuah, there will be 7 years of Gaulus in the Beis Mikdash will be rebuilt, was not only by his Rishon to by his Sheni, Rabbi Kiva held was also by his Sheni to by his Shlishi. Rambam says many agreed with him, but certainly there were many who disagreed with him. That was Rav Kiva's position. And presumably, if you were Talmud Rav Kiva, so you would be a Hezronik. Rav Kiva holds that this man is Mashiach. So you're going to be a Hezronik in Melech HaMashiach's army. And then, as we know, that lasted for a couple of years, and it was brutally, brutally, bloodily put down, the Bar Kokhba revolt. Rav Kiva lost everything. He lost his entire yeshiva. He lost Talmidim. He lost... He fielded a candidate for Mashiach, and gone. Everything is gone. He was an old man. No one would have faulted him for retiring. He had done it all. Become a Baal Tshuva, become a Talmud Chacham, become one of the Gedol Yisrael, become one of the greatest Talmud Chachamim of all time. Enormous yeshiva, tremendous number of Talmidim, fielded a candidate for Mashiach, and it's done. You would think that he would retire, but he didn't. Instead, what did Rabbi Kiva do? He starts again. And what was the starting again? Five Talmidim. You can imagine what the bloggers and the cynics were saying. Leitzane Adam. What were they saying? What it also ran. Right? It's past his prime. Hang it up. When you were younger, you had 24,000 Talmidim. Now you're trying again. You have five Talmidim. You can imagine what the cynics said. And Lamaisa... Lamaisa, who laughed last? We don't know. We don't have a single Dvar Torah from any of the 24,000 Talmidim. What a name of the 24,000 Talmidim! And the five Talmidim, four of those five, Rav Dordek points out, 80% of all name statements in all of Shas Mishnayos are from four of those. Are from Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi, or Rabbi Meir. Mamish, and there's more. The Gemara points out that the major texts of Torah Shva Peh that we have. The Mishnayos, Tosefta, the various Midrash Halacha, all rooted in the Talmid, and those Talmid, the second yeshiva, Rabbi Kiva. He was the ultimate in picking himself up, dusting himself off, and trying again. He was an extraordinary optimist. And there's more. So I think Aruch HaShulchan is the one who suggests They came to Rabbi Akiva because he was a Rebbe. He was their Talmud in Shas, but he was a Rebbe in this. Because they understood, you have a Seder, either it's after the Churban Bayis, it's after the Churban of Bar Kochma, you're going to make a Pesach Seder, you're going to celebrate Geula or Bnei Chorin. Like, what does that mean? And I'm sure as many of you have seen the stories and seen the artifacts from the Siddurim that were held in the Holocaust. And the Yiratzins that some Jews said, the Hini Mukhar Mazuma, to eat mat, to eat chametz, to make kind of mitzvah shmartan of shasechem, so we aren't trapped dead because we have no matzah. We're going to be kind of mitzvah of not starving to death. Jews have had Siddurim under incredibly difficult circumstances. They're trying to figure out how are we going to do this? So they went to the Rebbe. Their Rebbe in optimism is Rebbe Akiva. Rebbe Akiva will show us. And some even suggest, I don't know if the Aruch HaShulchan has this, but the Aruch Drash, very poetic, they were Mesaprim, Yitzchias Ram, Kol Olos Haile, all throughout the darkness of the Golas, they were Mesaprim, 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 until the time you come, they said, he gives Makir Shoshal Shachars. Even the Talmidim now had a clarity, we're seeing the light. We're beginning to see the glimmers of how you can see Chasdei Hashem, even in very, very, very dark times. And now we've been Mekayim, Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim. That's a big Yisod. Yisrael is in very, very difficult times now. Very. Ooh. Very, very difficult times. Very, very painful times of Yisrael. We've seen incredible Nisim the last couple of days. And that does not take away from the fact that Yisrael also is B'sakana Atzuma. Core Klal Yisrael, the Gemara, the Rambam, right? Or Klal Yisrael in the Eretz Yisrael. That's where all of our hearts are. And we don't know what Nisan will happen between now and Pesach. But regardless, Pesach gives incredible... We're going to join Rebbe Akiva Seder. And that's perhaps why our Hashulchan says, the Maaseh B'Chamish Zakenim is not only instructions for the details of Afilum Kana Chachamim and in Kala Marbreiz and Meshubach, but it's this Yisod, this perspective on what it means to Shtel a Seder and what a Seder could accomplish. Before I turn the floor over, I'll share with you one far shorter vart that captures, I think, a lot that I've heard from my father many times at the Seder. I mentioned before that we were just talking about Chamaisa Chamisha Zakenim, so that's part of the instructions. Obviously, it's setting you up to appreciate what is you're meant to draw, the perspective, the insight, and the inspiration you're meant to draw from the CPC is trying to come. But let's talk briefly about, said before, that the actual core of the CPC is trying, the mitzvah itself, is primarily when we're holich v'doresh those four psukim. Rami Ovidavi. Vayirei v'oson ha-mitzvah v'ya'anunu. Vayitlu ha-leinu avod ha-kasha. That's pasuk 2 of 4. So throughout that part of the Haggadah, we say the whole pasuk, and then we're holich v'doresh, and we say each word and give the interpretation of the Medrash. So the Medrash is adding something to our understanding, often just quotes a pasuk from elsewhere in Chumash, elsewhere in Tanakh, but the point is to add you understand this word in Kisavo. Says the Medrash. What does it mean by a mitzvah? Is there a They were bad to us, vayanunu, and they tortured us. And they gave us incredibly, fantastically hard work. Terribly. Viciously hard work. It's good to work hard. We were poor working hard. But that was vicious slave labor. That wasn't healthy hard work. Then the Medrash says, vayireyu osanu kemoshe ne'emar. Havanis chakmalo. Paro says to his council, back in Parashat Shmos, we better have come up with a very wise, clever strategic plan, because otherwise the Jews will continue to grow exponentially, and if there's a foreign incursion, they're going to go through their fifth column, they're going to join the other side, and we're going to be in trouble. So Paro says, we better come up with a plan. That's the pasuk that we quote, the Medrash quotes, to interpret it by Arayos son. Here's the problem. If you're actually thinking about it, of all the psukim you could have quoted, you could have quoted tens if not hundreds of other psukim, but not that one. By Reu, all of a sudden the mitzvah were bad to us. The next pasuk begins talking about what they actually did. The par has the gzeira against the baby boys. There are other psukim that talk about avodas parach. That pasuk doesn't say anything bad that they did to us. So, what's being added to our understanding by Reuven by saying havanas hakmo? I heard from my father many times at the Seder that the Medrash is pointing out that Vayarei Osanu does not mean they were bad to us. That's a mistranslation. The Medrash is pointing out that Vayarei Osanu is hifil. It means they said that we were bad. They made us out to be bad people. And then Vayanunu, and then they tortured us. Because what does Paro say? We better have a plan, we better have a contingency plan, because the Jews are disloyal, and if we let them continue to grow, they're going to be a security risk. Was there any evidence the Jews were disloyal? Zero. The last thing the Jews had done to Mitzrayim was that Yosef HaTzadik, if anything, consolidated the power of the Paros, and had saved the lives of hundreds of thousands, not millions of Mitzrayim, and plenty of other people in the surrounding area, had rethought the economy of Mitzrayim. All the evidence pointed to the Jews are here to help. But the precursor to anti-Semitic torturing of the Jews was an anti-Semitic caricaturing of the Jews and making up lies and libels that we were disloyal, and that we're a risk, and we're a risk to the country, and therefore, we better all attack the Jews. Which is a pattern that we've seen again and again throughout Jewish history. That's what the Medrash is saying that by Reuven on it. Means Rabbi Neuber pointed out this past Shabbos, that the Haftar that we rarely lay in Parshat Tazria, that we lay in Punkt this past Shabbos, says exactly that. Melech Yisrael says, he gets a message from Ashur, he says, oh no, he's setting me up to give, it's all a pretext. He's asking me to give humanitarian aid that he knows I can't give, so then another pretext to attack me, to say that I'm nasty and he's going to attack me. Mamash. Kamo yameinu. These patterns, that's one of the lessons of the Seder, Bechlau, throughout CPZ is Mitzrayim, that there are patterns of anti-Semitism that recur throughout the generations, how they torture us and the way they set it up, and there are patterns of Geula and Yeshua that recur throughout the generations, because he shalom d'lav v'sein v'lo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is invested in Netzach Yisrael, the Nitzchias of Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will continue to care for us and save us until finally Klal Yisrael and the world reach the final destination of human history in Olam Hazeh, which is the perfected Olam Hazeh of Yemos HaMashiach.